The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Finally, our brother came to sit with us live from the Dream Hotel. My boy, Rich Homie Chief. And y'all know, sitting over there, world champion, all pro, arguably, I don't even know if it's arguably, but we'll say arguably for the sake of conversation.
Cool.
Best cornerback in the business, Jalen Ramsey.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate it, man. It's time. It's about time.
It's time.
It's
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is special. Like, I was thinking on the way driving up here from Long Beach, like, you have those full circle moments, right? Mm-hmm. And for everybody who don't know, we launched the podcast, you know, 15th episode is coming soon. And but early on, Jalen, DR, Micah were early supporters of the vision way before we even started. And what we were putting together, you know, so being able to finally sit down and have this conversation and, you know, it's a special moment, and I'm just looking forward to it.
It's also special because the king over here, the young king, yesterday played, if I'm not mistaken, played in his 100th NFL game yesterday.
Yes,
talk to him. 100.
100.
100, man. 100, man, that's crazy. Just it's crazy to say, it's crazy to think about, you know. Man, it, like, I knew it sometime during the year I was gonna get to my 100th game, God mm-hmm. willing, right? Uh-huh. It never really sunk in until like last week, just during preparation and everything. I'm like, man, I'm about to do something that, like, can't nobody where I'm from say that they've done, like. And especially they ain't never done it like me. You know what I mean? Like, not arrogant, not in an arrogant way, but that's just a fact. Like, they ain't nobody where I'm from ever done it like me. Like,
yeah,
ain't nobody where I'm from ever done played 100 NFL games in 7 seasons and 3 first team all pros, 5 Pro Bowl. Like, ain't nobody from where I'm from ever did that. So, man, it's amazing. All I do is, like, thank God, because I'm like, man, like, the people you put me around, you know, the people that God has blessed me to be around mm-hmm. throughout my journey, the situations he's blessed me to be in throughout my journey, it's like I really feel special and chosen by him, only God.
Ordained.
Yeah,
ordained
by God,
steps.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because, man, like, all my homies from back home, like, they would kill to be in this position, like, mm-hmm. and live out these dreams that we had as little kids. So, like, for it to be me, like, for this to be happening to me, like, man, it's amazing. Like, just amazing. And like, after the game, I was talking to my family and everybody about it, and I'm like, man, it's crazy because, you know, you think, like, these big milestones mean a lot, right? Which they do. You know, like, my first NFL game, like, it meant a lot, but I lost my first NFL game, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But it didn't stop it from being a, like, my first NFL game, like, yo, my dream still came true on this day. It was still a big day. It's still a big moment. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, all the feelings were still there. Like, wow, this is amazing. Don't get it twisted. I don't like losing ever. But,
yeah.
Like, I still embrace all of that. And then the same with my 100th NFL game. We ended up losing, but it's like, I think about it and I take all my feelings and emotions in, and I'm like, man, I'm so blessed regardless. Like, I'm so blessed. And regardless of how this game is going, like I was thinking this during the game, like we were losing during the game, and I was just thinking in my head, like, man, I'm still blessed. Like, don't take this for granted because we lose, and don't get mad, and don't go, don't give it your all on any play that you playing. Like, just like having that constant, like, it just certain milestones just make you be so grateful and so thankful.
Yeah,
and it make you just live in the moment, no matter what's going on around you. You know what I mean? And like we had this conversation, like us three, we had this conversation before, like when, after the Super Bowl, when we was like in SoFi, and y'all was like, man, how you feel about it? And I'm just like, man, I told y'all the same thing then. Like during that milestone, I'm just taking it all in the moment, like being grateful and thankful for all the accomplishments, everything that led me to this point, and all the people who led me to this point. Because y'all even know in the Super Bowl, it didn't go exactly like the actual game didn't go exactly how we had planned, how I planned. But, man, the whole moment was just like, man, don't let, like, a little hiccup or, you know, something that didn't go your way take your joy and take your, you know, gratefulness and thankfulness away from this huge milestone that at the end of the day, God still blessed you with this. Like, God still blessed you to be in this position. You know what I mean? So
you got a Lombardi trophy. Yeah. And you got a ring.
Man, I've been blessed with so much. I got so much. I got the accolades. I got all that, man. I've
got
been
so
blessed.
Got your health, your family.
My man, like, I'm so blessed. It's like, man, I can't, like, yeah, I got to keep my motivation and my ambition and all that stuff. But I can't let it get to a point where I'm, like, getting down on myself, or I'm not being thankful and grateful for the present moments that I'm in, and, you know, worshiping God and praising God, because, man, once I start doing that, it ain't going to be there no more. He's going to take that away. Like, so that's how I was feeling with my 100th game, man, though we lost, man. I've been feeling so grateful and thankful, man.
So has the little boy from Smyrna, When did he start walking this down, this dream down? Was it there? Because I know your father is also plays a huge role. He's your trainer, right? So when did you start walking this down? Matter of fact, just tell us about early life for Jalen Ramsey. Yeah. Like, what's early Jalen Ramsey life like?
Man, so for the people who don't know, my dad is he's a fireman. For the Nashville Fire Department. Well, now he's the fire chief, so he's been doing it for basically my whole life.
Okay.
You know, 25 plus years he's been a fireman.
Hasn't retired yet.
No, he ain't retired yet. He won't retire. For whatever reason. But so you gotta think, like, this man, I saw this man wake up at like 4 a.m, get ready to go to work, be at work for 24 hours, like they had 24 hours, 48 hours, like be at work for 24 hours, on call whenever. Like, first responder, people's lives depended on them doing their job the right way. So he had to be focused, detailed, disciplined. Like, he had all of the attributes that I could dream about wanting as a young boy, a teenager, a man, like a football player. He had all of them. Like, first responders, they have all of them. They got to be accountable. You know, they got to work together with a team. Like, they got to know their job, they got to execute their job, like, they got to be focused, disciplined, like, everything. Ain't no time to be lazy, ain't no time to slip up, you can't make no mistake. Like, real deal, people's lives depend on you sometimes. Absolutely. In these situations. So seeing all of that growing up, seeing him do that, and then the same, like, seeing my mom work her ass off too, like, wake up every single day and go to work.
Okay.
And, like, 6 o'clock. But not only that, but make sure me and my brother was straight first. Let me make sure they straight. Then I got to still go to work. Then I got to go to work. Then I got to go pick the boys up. Then I got to do this. Then I got to do that. Like, seeing them two, the way they went about, like, working in their business and making sure the fam was straight and making sure me and my brother was straight and still didn't miss no games, didn't miss no activities, no school trips, no nothing. Didn't miss a parent teacher conferences, was still at everything. I'm like, yo, this is dedication. So I learned early, like, this is how it gotta be. Like, this is how dedicated I need to be at whatever I'ma do in life. Absolutely. And that's what they preach too. Like, man, whatever you do in life, we don't care what y'all do, but whatever you do, you're gonna be the best at it. You're gonna be that dedicated, like, at whatever you do. And naturally, I'm the baby of my family. Like, I'm the youngest boy.
How many total?
It's just me and my older brother, but I got three, four older cousins. Yeah. And all my older cousins, brother, they all play, you know, collegiate sports, whether it was football or basketball, all of them. Okay. So I'm the baby out of all the boys in the family. So naturally, I was going to gravitate to sports, you know what I mean? And just being around them, I gravitated to sports and I gravitated to football. Most of us were football. There was a couple of basketball, but most of us were football. Gravitated to football, and, you know, those same things that my parents instilled with me in life, like, just carried over to football. Yeah. And I loved football so much, and that's what I wanted to do. So I'm like, man, my parents told me whatever I want to do, I got to be the best at it. So that led to where I'm at now. Like, that laid the foundation.
Yeah.
So who I am now and what I do now and what's led me to this point. And then obviously, of course, like, God been on my side, and I truly believe that. Like, God been on my side. He put me around the right people in the right situations. Like, some people call it, like, luck or the big breaks and stuff like that. Like, nah, it's God.
It's
like,
God moving.
God, he orchestrated all this in my favor. Like, I really believe that.
So you found, I mean, you really identified your purpose at a young age and then instilled what your parents, you know, under their tutelage, that when did, you know, I know you love football, but was it like ninth grade, eighth grade, when you're like, being from a small city also too, were you like, this is all I want to do? And how do you get, you know, for, I know there's so many kids that are out there that live in small cities and might not get the eyeballs and the opportunities as other kids in major cities. How did you go about making sure that your skills were showcased and, you know, you were able to find that path and get noticed and, you know, take the next steps for college and those things?
My parents again. My parents throwing me in that fire, making me do stuff, being there to support me whether I failed or succeeded in whatever it was I was doing. A lot of that was them. They sacrifices, taking me here and there, and they just molded me so different, man. Yeah. Really, like, that's really what they did. They molded me so differently. So I really like God and my family, like, for real, for real.
It's important.
That's why I'm still the way I am now. Like, that's what it's about for me, is God and my family.
Did your older brother play too?
Yeah, my older brother played. He played quarterback, actually. He played quarterback at a high school, signed with MTSU, Middle Tennessee State, right up the road from where we live.
Okay.
And then he finished off his career at Tennessee State. But yeah, he played too.
So wait, he went to Middle Tennessee State and Tennessee State.
Yep.
So Tennessee State, HBCU, Middle Tennessee State, our boy, who you introduced us to, KB, went to Middle Tennessee. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, my whole fam went to, my whole fam went to MTSU. My dad played at MTSU way back in his days.
Wait, so is this true? I heard that there was a real chance that you was going to go to Middle Tennessee. Like, you considered it.
I mean, growing up, I thought it was destiny.
Okay.
Like, my dad played there, my brother played there. Like, you kind of think, man, it's destiny. But I was too piped up for that. I was too good for that. You know what I mean? Not a bad way. MTSU, cool, man. I love MTSU. I love visiting there all the time. Yeah. Like I said, I have family ties there. You know what I mean? And, man, even at the time, like, Coach Stockstill, who was KB's coach and all that, me and his son are the same age. Me and his son knew each other. Me and his son hung out all the time. His son ended up going to, you know, Middle Tennessee eventually. Like,
what were your top three college choices?
When it really came down to it, like, when it was really time for me to make a decision, it came down to Florida State, Florida, and I'll just say them two for now. And I'll say USC because I was committed to USC, Southern California out here. I was committed to Southern California for almost a year. Almost a year.
You was going to be a Trojan?
I was going to be a Trojan, man. I wanted to be extremely bad. Man, I remember as soon as they offered me, I was ready to commit, like ASAP. My parents was like, man, hold your horses, like, you know, take a visit there at least, yada, yada. I did that, and then as soon as I took my visit, I'm like, I'm ready to commit. Like, I was persistent with wanting to commit to USC. I wanted to be there. It was one of my dream schools.
DB University, that's what it's considered.
I don't think it's considered.
No, come on.
Who considers it that?
I don't think anybody considers
it. It was for a long time.
I never heard that one before.
I've never heard that in my life.
What do you, what was it considered? Is it tailback you?
It's nothing.
You talking about like Ronnie, from Ronnie Lott to like all the way
they
up.
They had some good safeties, but they won DBU.
You on that bullshit right now.
You DBU? Yeah, no.
Name Florida State, so Florida FSU. No, I know.
Deion, I knew. Terrell Buckley
was that shit.
Cromartie.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And them the guys right before me. And then me, Derwin. And come on, man.
Okay.
You said DBU.
Hey, listen. Come on, man. A lot of people would say, yo, Ronnie Lott is considered, is he not considered the best safety of all time? Ronnie Lott, I don't even think it's questionable.
Now you tripping, lady.
I'm asking
now you. It's questionable, yes. I agree, man. Legendary. Like, that's why he's a Hall of Famer. That's why he is who he is. That's why we talk about him still. But, but like, come on, man. You got Ed Reed. What are you talking about? You got Ed Reed. You talking about Ed Reed ain't the best ever? Ed Reed ain't the best ever? I mean, that's just me. But you got, like, Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu. You got...
Troy wasn't better than Ronnie Lott.
Okay, I get that, but Ed Reed,
Ed Reed, the conversation now you got me. Ed Reed, we got. Ed was unbelievable. He different, super different. But look, we digress. So you walk onto the campus of FSU in Tallahassee, and after being an illustrious high school career. Mm-hmm. Right? And now you're at the campus at FSU. You're starting over again, right? You're starting over. At every level, you start over again. What is there a daunting moment where you ever, when you get to FSU where you're like, man, maybe this ain't it. Mm-hmm. Maybe I ain't it. Do you have those moments?
Nah, not me.
I love
not
it.
Me. I told you, God done blessed me, and man, He done blessed me so much. I look at any and everything that I do, and I'm like, man, I'm here for a reason. God put me in this position for a reason. Like, whether it's I was recently just talking to my chaplain about this. We was talking about just positive thinking and stuff like that, because what you put in your mind is what you, like, how you are usually.
Absolutely.
And I'm already like that. I'm a glass half full type of guy. I'm not a glass half empty type of guy. I'm always glass half full. Like, man, I ain't gonna lie. Like, we out there, I can just talk about this past Sunday. We losing like 17-3 in the third quarter. And in my mind, I'm like, somehow, some way, we gonna find a way to come back and win the game. And then we down 24 to 10. Still in my mind, I'm like, somehow we gonna score a touchdown, then we're gonna get a turnover, score another touchdown, we right back on the game. Like, it's never really, I'm always glass half full. Like, it's never really like, dang, I'm in this position now. It's always like, all right, I'm in this position now, but it's about to flip. Like, I always think that in my mind, it's about to flip. Something about to change. Like,
okay.
Something's gonna change. If I'm late going into work, I don't think like, man, I'm moving this way this morning because
there's a reason.
Always like that. Like, it's always a positive to me. Like,
sense. Yeah.
So, no, I never had that moment where I didn't think that I was meant to do great things, meant to be on a big stage, influencing people and having an influence. Never in my life. Like, and I think that's also helped me. You know what I mean? Like, I was a first freshman to start at cornerback since Deion Sanders at Florida State. Like, that's huge. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just named a couple of the people who just came before me who, like, Terrell Buckley, top five pick, Cromartie, like, everybody, these guys came before me, and there's even more that I can name. These guys came before me, but I'm the first freshman to start since Deion Sanders?
Yeah.
At Florida State? First freshman to start his first game since Deion Sanders in my... And what I do, I get a pick in my very first college game. Started every single game in college. Have started every single game in my NFL career. Like, man, like, I'm blessed, man. I'm so blessed. Like, and obviously, like, I put the work in too. Like, don't get it twisted. Like,
And that's why you can feel the way you feel.
Yeah, like, I definitely do that. I definitely do that as well. But, man, I feel like step one is knowing that I belong.
Like that part.
Knowing that I belong in these rooms. Knowing that I belong on this field with these guys. Knowing I belong here. So I'm going out there. I ain't playing with no fear. I ain't playing timid. I'm going to do everything that I know I can do plus more, plus what I didn't even know I could do.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm going to go out there and, like, people say, man, he turned into a different beast out there sometimes. Like, nah, I don't turn into no beast. I turn into, man. That's God's holy. That's the Holy Spirit coming through me right now. Like, y'all, it's something different, but it ain't no beast. That's godly. Like that's how I feel. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, that's personally how I feel. Yeah. Like, when I'm out there, like, I belong, man. Yeah. Like, I belong wherever I'm at, and that's in life too, though. Like, man, I belong in these buildings with these execs. I belong, you know, wherever. I belong right here in these same rooms as these guys. I belong. Like, it ain't too, I'm here for a reason. God put me here.
I love that.
I know that we, our culture, we need that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We need that mindset every single day.
Absolutely.
Because the reality of it is we're shown things through other lenses that would have us doubting, you know what I'm saying, our standing. And so I love you. I don't even want to say it's confidence. You put the work in, bro. Like you said, you put the work in, and then your belief, and then again, that's exemplary. That's an exemplary quality that people need to have. Like, we all need to, need to have that. Like, I belong here. Yeah, I'm supposed to be right here in this moment.
I mean, the culture now and the climate is everything needs to be validated by somebody, whether that's comments on social media or somebody telling you you're doing a good job or somebody. And I think, you know, I was thinking of the word resilience, but it's way further than that. And I think, you know, the purpose in your faith also too, where it's a higher calling, you know what I mean? Like, you're destined, you know what you're destined for, and you can continue to grow in that. But again, to your point, it's like, people need to hear this because we need to understand we don't need to be validated by people to go out and be our best.
Yep.
Yeah.
You should wake up and be able to look at yourself or say something to the Most High and be like, this is for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, and that's why when you peel back the curtain, so many people are in so much pain. It's because they need that constant, like,
reassurance
that.
Which would drive you crazy.
It'll drive you crazy.
Because you always, like, searching for validation as opposed to it being like, yo, this is what's supposed to happen. If I put in the work, if I treat people well, if I do, you know, I check all the boxes on the things that are absolutely important in this life, I'm only supposed to sit right here.
Absolutely.
I built this table. Like, I'm supposed, you know what I mean? I built this table.
Yeah.
It's all God, though. Like, that's literally, as we speak, it's all God. Like, what we talking about is actually, like, it's biblical, you know what I mean? Like, if you really tapped in, you know, if you tapped into the Word, you tapped into God, like, you read that Bible, man, you're going to find examples over and over and over and over again where he telling you, you a king. Mm-hmm. You destined for greatness. Like, whatever you thought you was going to get blessed with, I'm going to bless you with double and triple. And I'm going to make you, you know, the ruler of many nations. You thought you was gonna get this, I'm gonna give you this. Like, it's all biblical. It's
written.
Like, it's in there. So when you tap in, man. So like, that's what I do. You wanna talk about like the validation and stuff? It's true. Like, man, it's so easy to wanna look for validation from social media or somebody you may looked up to or this or that. Man, people are always gonna let you down, unfortunately. But when you tap into that word, if I'm going back and I'm seeing what God say about me, oh, he say, man, he say I'm a king. What are you talking about? He said I'm a king. You can't tell me I'm not. He said I'm a king.
That's real.
So I'm tapping. I tap in like every day. You know, that's just me. I tap in every day. I make sure I stay tapped in. Yeah. He telling me I'm a king. Then I feed myself with all this positiveness.
Yeah.
And what the Lord and what God truly say is me. Man, you're a king. You blessed. You this. You got greatness still on the way. I ain't done with you. I ain't finished with you. This. And then I got the faith.
Yeah,
you got to have faith. That's biblical as well. And then what it also say, faith without works is dead,
it's
though.
Dead, yeah.
And that's the part where I got this. I know I'm destined for this. I know I'm a king. I know this is coming. I got the faith, but I also got to go put the work in, too.
Yeah, got to go to work. Yeah.
So it's all of it. And, like, all of it is biblical. Like, that's really how I
approach life.
That's how I approach life. Like, that's how I'm raising my kids, everything.
Yeah. Like, well, what they say, when you're trusted with little, you know, he'll give you more. Those can be trusted with. But I completely agree, man. Like, that higher power, that higher source is just something you got to lean on to, because, you know, you'll never get it. You'll never get that through another person. And it don't matter. Your parents have disappointed you. Your mom, the people you love the closest to you, you know, so it's just so powerful to hear. Question, 7 years in the league now, right?
Yep.
Where do you feel, and this is, I think, more off the field, has the growth been, you know, the most in your life that you're like?
Yeah. Having kids, you know?
Okay.
My first couple years in the league, I didn't have no kids. I was, you know, a young bachelor living the life, really, just living out here, doing what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, enjoying everything that came with being a, you know, NFL.
Playing in the NFL.
Yeah, just enjoying life, right?
Yeah.
Man, once you have kids, though, especially if you a man and you have daughters, and especially if you are like a big fierce, like I play football, you one of them men, and then you have daughters. And then you have another daughter, and then you have another daughter. Like, man, it changed you up. Like, I'm still who I am, you know what I mean? When I gotta flip that switch on that field, I'm still who I am, but man, like the patience, the, you know, just everything. Really, my daughters have helped me in so many aspects that obviously they so young right now, they don't even know, but like, man, they've helped me be a better leader.
Yeah.
Just because, like, man, just think about it. Like, with kids, you don't, sometimes they can't communicate, you know, thoroughly what's going on with them, and you gotta figure out how to, and they're all so different, so then you gotta have to figure out how to lead them. As your dad, how do I lead you to do what I need you to do?
And
without you shutting down or without
it
being, I might have to do that different with my little Breland than I do it with my little Junie or with my little Brooklyn. Like, they all different, so I might have to treat them a little bit differently. Breland, I can get on her a little bit, she gonna respond, get it right back. All right, she ain't gonna do it again. The Brooklyn, she gonna cry if I get on her, so I gotta approach it a little bit different. Junie, she a thug. She on whatever, and then she gonna get in trouble again. She don't care. She like, it's just different for everybody, and that's how it is. Like, being a leader on a football team, everybody's different. Everybody in my secondary is different. I can talk to one of my teammates and they get it right away. I can talk to another one of my teammates and they might not get it, or they might not feel it, or, you know, some of my teammates have a little bit more confidence than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So then I gotta approach that different. Gotta pour a little bit more confidence in him, but this one I can just tell him straight up. I ain't got a sugarcoat nothing. Like, they don't even know, man. They've helped me with my patience, dealing with my teammates and dealing with people in general, being a leader in the locker room. Like, that's probably helped me the most.
beautiful stuff.
It's like just like them little things, them intangibles, I would say, and that all comes strictly comes from my daughters. And then obviously, you know, just regular growth and going through experiences in life and stuff like that has helped me grow too. But my daughters get a lot of credit for the man that I have changed become. Into and the man who I've become, for sure.
And develop, continue to develop mm-hmm. into, mm-hmm. yep. Mm-hmm. We, right now, we're like, we're seeing a lot of, I wanna put this right. Specifically in the NBA, right? Mm. We are seeing a moment where.
Let's talk about it, man.
No, we're gonna talk
Let's
about
talk
it.
About it. Come on. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Why not? Come on.
What? Let's not even beat around. How do you? Yeah. What do you feel about what's going on with Kyrie? And maybe I should be more specific. I want to be more specific.
Okay.
I don't even have to say. Yeah, I don't even have to talk about that. How do you? The way he is being punished, mm-hmm. or not?
No, you're saying right.
Punished.
He's being punished.
Okay. Yeah. How? After acknowledging, I made a mistake, or I made a mistake, or. So, Is
not
it?
Even, not even, okay. not even. I wouldn't necessarily say that. Yes, it just depends. Like I said, I'm a glass half full type person, so
even
a mistake to me is like a growing moment. It's a you can
it's
find
a growing
right?
moment.
So
that's how I think. Teachable but, moment.
Yeah, right. So that's okay. how I think. So how I look at that situation is, man, I tweeted something out the other day about this. I was like, in today's society. The truth messes up the story. And if you think about that, like really think about that, the stories that are portrayed most of the times and like the headlines and the stuff like that, like, wow, amazing, boom, big, whatever, whatever. But then when you actually read the truth, you're a little less amused. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that story was good though. Like the story was good. So you kind of want to stick with the story. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have a perfect example. Like, in my life, currently, right now, I just played my 100th game, right? Mm-hmm. I played, so the story that I told some people who wanted to hear was like, man, I'm playing in my 100th game. And it's crazy because I played 50 games with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And 50 games with the LA Rams. How crazy is that? Like, cut right in the middle, my 100th game. I played 50 games with them, and I played 50 games with the Rams. That's not the truth. I played 51 games with the Jags, and I played 49 games with the Rams so far, technically. So, still equal 100, but the story sound better saying, 50, oh, it's 50-50. So, we're going to, you know, for the headlines stuff, we're going to stick with that story a little bit. But the truth is it's a little less amusing. It's like a little less, wow, 50 and 50. You're not going to get that same reaction with 51 and 49.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's like the society that we're in right now. Like when people actually go listen to what he said and how he's explaining it, he's like, yo, I ain't got no hate in my heart. If I offended anybody, I'm sorry. That's not why I was looking at the documentary. I'm trying to explore my ancestry. I'm trying to explore
my familiar history.
Right. I'm trying to explore something for me. That don't mean I'm trying to have hate for nobody else. People don't want to hear that's actually what he said, right?
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. That is super unfortunate. But two, I'm not a fan of like the cancel culture and all of that because, man, it like since when can somebody not make a mistake?
Yeah.
Like. We all have made mistakes. Like, when can somebody not make a mistake and, you know, apologize for it and move on? Especially when you know that one day intentions to be hateful or harmful in any type of way anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so with what's going on with him right now, man, yes, I ain't got no hate in my heart, no nothing, none of that. But, like, if I do something to offend you, yo, I'm sorry. I ain't even mean to offend you. And then why can't we just move on?
Yeah.
Like, we got difference of opinion. We got different views. Now why can't we move on?
Or why can't we have constructive conversation?
Yeah.
So we can understand each
other.
That's the thing that
exactly.
I don't
that's
like.
What I don't like.
And you ain't got to exploit, in essence, like, you ain't got to exploit me. I shouldn't have to, man, I made a mistake and now I got to pay you $500K and then I got to go do this and do that and do this and do that. Man, nah, yeah. Like, yo, I apologize. Man, if I can get better, I ain't even mean it that way. This is why I was watching the documentary, right? Boom. I didn't even really pay attention to these parts, so I'm learning this with you. I hate that that's in there for you. But that's not why I was looking at it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then let's keep it pushing. And then, like, in our culture, like people can, I don't like how it's not the same. Like, you know, somebody will, and I don't want to get into specific people or nothing, but somebody can say, come on and say, nigga. You know, a white person can come on the show and say nigga 100 times if they want to, and then apologize.
And there's like, there's no then, further ramifications.
Well, that's it. It's not even more. It's like, well, you got. It's still that. Well, you say it. Like, is it really that?
Right. Mean, and then we
you
move
say
on.
It. We get the you say it.
Right. Yeah. And then we move on. And you got to pay no $500K to this, and then you got to go talk to all the black leaders. You ain't got to.
Yeah.
Man, what? Like, why is it not the same? Like.
Yeah.
And you can have, man, people got to understand, you can have different views and just still keep it pushing. Like,
yeah,
you still keep it pushing. Like, absolutely. I believe in whipping your children sometimes. Some people might not believe in whipping your children. Like, I might be all the way on this end. Like, nah, they need to get whooped. My homie might be all the way on that end. Don't whip
talk
them
to
kids.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that don't mean we can't, all right, we disagree on this thing. Now we can keep it moving on. That's like, I think Jesus is black. Just because a white person tell me Jesus ain't black don't mean
we can't be cool.
You didn't offend me because your belief is different than my belief. That didn't offend me.
Yeah.
That's just me. I believe Jesus is black. You believe he's white. Okay, we have a difference of opinion. We agree to disagree, and we can keep it pushing.
And
like,
we can still be friends.
Yeah.
We can keep it pushing.
Pushing, yeah.
You telling me that you don't think that Jesus is black, that's not, you didn't harm me. That didn't, you not going to change. That wasn't hateful to me that you said, man, he ain't black. Well, that's what you believe. I just disagree with you. He black, though, to me. Like, he black. Just like, all that, they black to me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think we in a space right now that's really weird, and I think it like comes from like the cancel culture, and then so many people just like
piling on
and jumping onto it that I'm not a fan of. Like, yeah. Man, I'm never gonna be a fan of intentionally trying to harm somebody or be hateful to anybody. Any race, any culture. I ain't no fan of that ever.
Yeah,
but I'm also a man of, like, I believe in second chances and stuff as well.
Absolutely.
I do believe in that. Like,
we all need grace.
It's
daily. We walk through it daily, but I feel like the society now is pitted everybody against each other, where one, you can't not like something and not be deemed a hater. Mm-hmm. You can't disagree with somebody with not being labeled a racist or, you know, something else. And we have to figure out, and I think it's just, unfortunately, it's so social media driven. Caleb Plant said this, it's the top comment syndrome. Like, everybody wants something where people are like, I like this. And we've also stopped as a nation, as just people in general, of the curiosity of learning about each other and other races and other people's beliefs. Like, we have to take more stock in each other, right?
Because everybody's you're right. Because like everybody's ahead of everybody. Oh, he's offended. You're not like, you know, you'll see on social media, it'll be you don't see this happening over here and you're not talking about it. You don't see this happening over here and you're not talking about it. You don't see everybody is what's happening in Iran is important. What's happening in the Congo is important. What's happening in China is important. Mm-hmm. But we that's the thing, is that it all has to be acknowledged. Mm-hmm. We can't acknowledge like just what we want to. It's all painful. And I hope that we begin to find a way to be more healing towards one another. Like, we gotta heal, man. There's a lot of healing that needs to take place. Because right now, everybody is offended. Nobody is hearing anyone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Talking over each other.
And talking over each other. You know, someone thinks you don't care about their point of view. I had a friend literally hit me, and this is a dear friend, hit me on social media DM and said, I didn't see you, you know, friend to friend, I didn't see you condemn Kanye or Kyrie. And I was like, I said, you are my friend and we are family. I said, and I feel like that this conversation shouldn't be happen over text. We should definitely sit down and have dialogue back and forth because we are friends. Like, you don't want, I don't want to give you a half-assed thing. And I'm not thinking, I'm probably not thinking at all what you think I'm thinking. And I'm not sitting where you think I'm sitting. I just feel like, to be very honest, I know because of how I look, I got to be more careful than you are. I got to be careful about what I say. You know what I'm saying? Because the repercussions for me and us and our careers are totally different. Mm-hmm. So I have to be careful, and I don't want it misconstrued. Mm-hmm. So that also is a reason we got to sit down at the table and have the dialogue. We have to do a better job of really wanting to listen to each other. Like, because, again, nobody's hearing each other right now. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I also feel like for us, if we're being completely honest, you know, we have to be, I gotta think before I just shout out some shit.
Context.
I have to, but everybody don't have to. Everybody don't have to give context. We do. Yeah. We have to give context. We're crucified. That's the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, we just gotta implore people, and I think we gotta teach kids, like, you gotta ask questions. Uh-huh. If you don't know, like, I mean, I grew up, I had, like, white best friends, Hispanic best friends, all those things, and you ask questions, and we don't, as adults, we don't ask questions. You probably know 10 Jewish people, you probably know 20 Hispanic people, but we're not interested in nobody else's lives but ours until something happens and you see everybody else in an uproar, then it's like, oh, I care about this now. Mm-hmm. We care about, that's why, who said it, like, what y'all fake caring about today?
Yeah.
We live in a society where we fake care about something every day. Mm-hmm. And we have to get back to being curious about us as humans, as individuals, as people, as culture, because that's where the human condition, that's where the love, that's where the brotherhood, that's when those kind of things, and it also can open your mind up to those things. Like, you talk about, like, faith and Christianity. I grew up Baptist, went to, you know, my grandma and them, they're from Mississippi, New Orleans, 6-hour-long church. It turned me off. When I got to high school, I started studying 5% Nation because I'm seeking and trying to find who I am. I get out of that. I'm like, this ain't right for me. And then I get introduced to somebody who was like a born-again Christian. It was a little intense, but he was able to finally break it down to me that was palpable for me to understand, to make me lean in more.
Got it.
To be like, I want to hear this. You know what I mean? And then you find, but if I didn't have somebody that leaned into me and was like, yo, let me break it down to your level. Because that's the problem, is we talk to everybody as if they should know exactly what you're going through, your plight, your culture, your religion. And sometimes you got to break things down to people to meet them at their level. Yeah. And we have to just start figuring out how we do that as a person. It's anything simple as food. I didn't eat sushi until I was like 24 years old. It wasn't because I didn't like it. I just wasn't around it. And I didn't have somebody to be like, let me introduce you to a California roll first. Now try this. You know, it's just, it's having people, it's leaning into each other.
I think I was eating sushi for a long time, eating them California rolls from Rouse.
Right?
Some bullshit.
You know, so.
I'm going to keep it real.
Yeah, man, like, lean into people. ask questions, you know, and don't feel like you're forced because of where society is that you got to comment on everything and jump into the conversation. If you don't know, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. You, 100th game yesterday, like you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Damn, that was just yesterday.
Yeah.
100 more? You see 100 more?
If it's in God's will for me, yeah. Yeah. I used to put a limit on, like, how long I wanted to play. I used to put a limit on how long I wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would, when I got in the NFL, and probably, like, after my first year, I used to always say, like, man, I want to play 11 or 12 years max.
Okay.
And I just want to get out. 11 or 12 max. And if I don't get that many, I ain't tripping, right?
Got it.
But, man, the like, I love this, and I feel like this gives me a platform where I can speak about my Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I can speak about topics that need to be talked about, whatever. Like, and at the same time, like, I can play this kid's game that I've always loved playing as a kid, and get paid to do it, right? And be around other people who are like-minded. And, you know, some people who are not the same as me, and I learn about them, like what we were just saying, like all of that. So I stopped putting up, probably like before I signed my second contract, like probably that year before that, I stopped putting a number on it. I was like, man, however long, you know, God's going to continue to bless me to play is how long I'm going to play.
And I'm healthy.
And as long as I'm healthy, I'm still able to be a good dad, my family's good. Then I'm going to continue playing until I can't play anymore.
You've come up in an era where, you know, last couple of years, you know, there's a, you know, talk of CTE, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you concerned about that? Do you ever get concerned about that?
I personally don't.
Okay.
Because I like to think I play the game the right way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I play the game the right way with the right techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to do anything outside of the game. Like, yeah, I make big tackles, but they're like form tackles. They're with my shoulders.
You are, I see.
You know what I mean?
Real,
like,
for real.
Like I just feel like I play the game the right way.
Calculated.
Yeah, to where I try to avoid, you know, any stuff like that. Granted, like, sometimes it could just happen, right? It could just happen, like, things happen, but. Again, if there was ever to be a situation where I felt like it's something that I truly need to worry about because of my experiences, then yeah, I'll stop playing. But it doesn't worry me based off of other people's experiences.
Got it.
Because I know the way I play and the way that...
And the game is so advanced
about,
now,
yeah,
too.
The way I go about my business. And, you know, there is a... There's more technology coming out, better helmets, better equipment, better, like, so much stuff. You're always trying to advance. So that's one good thing. And it's, you know, starting to become an emphasis as of these like, past 4 or 5 years. And it'll just be more and more emphasis on it with, you know, accidents happening, freak accidents happening, concussions and stuff like that happening. So, you know, I have faith in God and in the process and in the journey and the advancement of the game, the advancement of equipment, the... Just everything, how I play, that I don't worry about it. And I don't, just me as a person, like, I don't live in fear anyway. So it is what it is.
Outside of football, I know you're just a huge sports fan. I know we had conversations about boxing and all that. Like,
yeah.
Who are some of your current favorite athletes outside of, you know, the hash marks?
Obviously, like, I'm a LeBron fan. I can't help it, man. I'm a LeBron fan. LeBron is the GOAT of my era. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's simple. Like, you know, it's definitely Kobe a little bit, but, man, like, when Bron hopped on the scene from high school is, like, when I really started paying attention to stuff. So it's, like, Bron for me, really. And for him to be doing this for, you know, 20 years and, all it is, like, you know, I've been I'm thinking about it now. I've been watching LeBron since I was 8 years old.
That's wild.
You know what I mean? And he's still doing it at a high level. Yeah. So, I would say LeBron's like my I'm the
pinnacle.
Yeah, the pinnacle of outside of football, of who I can be a fan of. Like,
yeah.
So I follow him everywhere. To be honest, I was a Cleveland fan, Miami fan. Now I'm a Lakers, like LeBron. And then obviously, like Cleveland. I know guys as well. You know what I mean? Just being in the space, professional athlete, you get to know other professional athletes. So a lot of different basketball players I've met, and I'm a fan of, and I'm a fan of their game. And I got a different kind of respect for all of them anyway, because I know what they had to put in to get to where they are and do it at this level. But I watch football, and like you said, I boxing a little bit. Shakur Stevenson, you call Tank. You call Tank when he fight Ryan. Go knock him out, and I rock with both of them. But
lights out.
But Tank different. You know what I mean? Like I respect and I admire like professional athletes, because I know what it takes to get here, and it's tough, man. And, but
you love Tank,
man. You already know.
Yeah, I know.
It was like that. And it's crazy though, because I was put in a bad spot, because I rock with Ryan too. I ain't gonna lie to you, I rock with Ryan. To me, he liked that too.
I'm a Crawford fan.
But Tank, you a Crawford fan?
I'm a Crawford fan.
I ain't gonna lie, if him and Spence have a fight, I got Spence. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I like both
of them too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just a fan of, like, you know, other good people. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Listen, Earl Spence. Like,
he like that now.
I will never disrespect Earl Spence. Is nice.
Yeah, he like that.
And to come back from the injury that he came back from. And then, like, just go back in there and handle homeboy recently, who had just dominated Pacquiao, even though Pacquiao's, you know, in his later years, he's nice. But Bud, for me, Bud is a different kind of dog.
Oh, he's different now.
He's a different kind of dog.
Man, he ain't gonna say he ain't.
And he's, I want them to. That's the thing that's so disappointing with boxing. I just want them to make the fights. Yeah. Like, let's just fight. Like, Pacquiao Mayweather took way too long. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree.
Bud and Spence should be fighting right now.
There's just too many bells, too many promoters. Too many.
Gervonta,
you know,
and Ryan should be fighting. Shakur and, you know, Teofimo, whoever wanted to get it, they should be fighting. But
I
agree.
That's what we want as fans.
That's what I want to see people fight. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's why I think the UFC is popular, though, because they fight.
They
don't care. And they don't care about one loss records.
Yeah. It's a fight every week.
I mean, and it's set up.
And they have 8 losses.
Yeah.
And the fans are still like, that's my favorite guy, because they fighting.
They run it as their business. It's, it's not like the NFL, they don't go to the owners and say, who do you want to play this? You know what I mean? Like, they set everything. Boxing is, there's 30 promoters, and they go, I don't want you to fight that guy yet because the money ain't right. I don't want you to do, you know what I mean? So it's a lot different.
And I want people to get their money. Don't get me wrong, but I think you're going to get the money if you make the fight.
You got
to
go and show out. That's
you make
what
the fight.
Was.
That's why Tank can get what he wants right now, because he done gone in there and put people to sleep. We know at some point somebody going to sleep.
Night, night.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. One quick, before I forget. Jalen Ramsey is the commissioner of the NFL. I need to know the first two things you're addressing that you feel are, because the game is important to you. Not only do you play it, you love the game.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who loves the game, you want to see it improve.
Yeah.
What are two things that you want to see improve in the sport that you love so much?
Mm.
That you and your brothers be in the locker room about and be like, man, fuck.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That's tough, because more than two things come to mind. But I'm,
okay.
The first two things that come to mind, honestly, are...
Yeah.
First and foremost, I would do any and everything possible for player safety. So, like right now, players are talking about, we need grass fields. It's done.
Yeah.
Like, it would be done. It wouldn't be no conversation about it.
Yeah.
It would, like, no conversation.
Got it.
If y'all think that it's this much of a difference. If y'all feel good playing on grass fields, you feel like there's less injuries. If there's statistics that say it's less injuries on grass fields, I understand the business part about it for y'all owners and stuff. I know why y'all want to have the turf and do this because the events that y'all can bring. But these players got to actually play on the fields, though. Like, they have to actually play.
And got to have a life after this.
Yeah, if they can't play, if one of your top players goes down, that's not good for any of us.
Yeah.
I will fix that immediately. Okay. Like, that's anything that's dealing with player safety that I can actually fix, like, some things you can't fix. Like, you can try your hardest too, but at the end of the day, football is football. It's a fierce sport. It's going to be some injuries. It's going to be some things that happen. But if it's something like that that I feel like I can change, and it's like, I'm telling the owners right now, I'm sorry. I know we all rock with each other. You know how that is, but we got to get these grass fields.
Okay.
And y'all just going to have to hire the landscaping crew to prep the events and all. Yeah, but we got to get these grass. That would be one. Like, anytime the players have like a outroar about something, and that's just the first thing that comes to my mind because that's currently going on right now. It's like an uproar about wanting grass fields. So that it would be automatic for me is grass fields.
Okay.
And then secondly, I would address that the quote unquote Rooney Rule.
Yeah, let's get into this one.
I've been around some extremely good coaches in my career, extremely good coaches. And I've been around probably two coaches just in my mind right now. One should be a head coach for sure. There ain't no at least. He should be a head coach. And then the other one should at least be a defensive coordinator, if not a head coach, but at least should be a defensive coordinator. But man, it's a system they got that, you know, they rotate these coaches, or they got their friend or their homeboy, or they have a tree of people, and then they get hired from that and this and that. But I've been in locker rooms, I've been around facilities where I've seen, like, no, that is actually the good coach.
Yeah.
He should be the one with that job.
Yeah.
Ain't no way he's my defensive coordinator. Ain't no way he's just the DB coach. Like, I've been around those guys, you know what I mean? And yes, they've had like interviews and stuff like that. So I guess you could call that a step. But in my mind,
semantics.
But in my mind, though, I'm like, there is no way that they interview him and they interview him.
And he got the job.
And he got the job over him. I'm like, there is no way. Like, no way. You can't tell me he's a better leader of men than him. You can't tell me that he knows schemes better than him. You can't tell me that he deserves to be this head coach more than him. I ain't taking nobody blessings away. Like, man, you blessed to get what you are.
Congrats
to you. But it just confuses me.
It's baffling, right?
That some of these black coaches in the NFL.
I'm tripping because, like, I've been like, when is Eric Bieniemy going to get a job?
I haven't been around him, so I can't speak on
him
directly.
But I'm just saying.
But he's a guy that
Eric
everybody Bieniemy, brings up.
Like,
he's a guy that everybody brings up.
Patrick Mahomes has said, I'm not me if this dude is not here. I'm not me. Like, this is why I'm who I am, right? Like, your man, Raheem Morris. Like, why he hasn't got a second shot after the Tampa.
It's insane.
It's insane
to me.
It's crazy.
It's insane to me. And whatever they try to say, you can come. Whatever argument somebody got to say, I have another one against it. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I'm that adamant about like the coaches that I've been around. Like, it's like I would address.
It's crazy, like, because I saw Jeff Saturday,
consultant for the team now.
But listen, he's never coached at any level other than high school, and that was just briefly. Great, I get it. 6-time Pro Bowler, not all pro, unless you can speak to that. All pro and pro bowling is different.
It is different. And I don't know exactly if he was all pro or pro bowler. I don't know.
He's really a pro bowler.
Centers. I don't want to center.
He's a pro bowler.
But I do know he was Peyton Manning center. He was pretty good.
But he jumps the line of all of these guys.
Man, relationships.
People hire their friends.
Yeah, it's what I was just saying. Like, that's why I would address it in some type of way. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if there is a way. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying it is right or wrong.
Is it
relationships can get you further than the actual experience sometimes. Absolutely. And that's the way it is.
But
man.
Check this out.
The way it is.
But here it is. Here's the other part of it. People hire their friends, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you don't have a owner that looks like us.
Yeah. Oh shit. You ain't gonna get no friends.
Yeah. You ain't gonna get there. How many? There's only gonna be so many.
Right, and I think that's a tough part. Like, if I was a commissioner, yeah, I would love to say, man, I'm gonna force these people to sell. We need to have out of 32 teams, we need to have. Let's start on the low end. We need to have 6 black owners. Like, I would love to say that, right? But you can't make nobody do that. Yeah. You can't make nobody sell their team and do this and do that. And, you know, you can't do that, but for whatever reason, I just don't think the Rooney Rule is enough. Like, okay, mm-hmm. we interviewed him, so we completed our
quota. We met the quota.
We interviewed him, so now we're complete with what we had to do.
Yeah.
But now let me go interview who I really want. Let me go interview my homeboy who I really wanted.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's enough. You know what I mean? And then, oh, like, I don't know the exact rules, but, like, oh, if you hire one of them, then you might get, like, a draft pick or something. Like, I don't think that's enough.
It's crazy.
You know, some teams don't value draft picks as much. Some teams might value draft picks. Like, I don't know, right?
Your GM is like, fuck them picks.
Right. Like, you know what I mean?
No, his GM, yeah, for real. No,
yeah. But, like, yeah. I don't really know the exact way to do it, but... It would be something that would be on my mind to try to address immediately. That and then, you know, player safety, the field specifically, or anything that they have an uproar about that they, like, I would try to address those two things immediately if I was ever, you know, commissioner of the NFL or something like that.
So what's the next few years off the field look like for you as a man, as business?
Yeah. Man, I wanna grow my family. I wanna have a little boy, man. I love my little girls to death, man, but I wanna have a little boy at some point.
Yeah.
I wanna have a little boy while I'm still playing. Cause it hits a little different. I ain't gonna lie. Like, love them girls to death. I really do. Like, I love them girls, they love the cheerleaders, they love the atmosphere of the games, they love all of that.
Yeah.
But they don't really, they're not gonna play football. They don't really know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, daddy made the tackle, or you know, he's playing corner right now, or he's playing safety this way, or oh, now he's on special teams. They don't know all of that. Nor do I really care for them to know. I don't really want them to. But if you have a little boy, a little boy gonna know a little bit because he's probably gonna be into that. Like, if my dad would have been in the NFL. I would have known exactly. My dad cornered. My dad.
Yeah.
On this play, he was doing this on it. Like, oh, and my dad played special teams too. He almost blocked the kick on special. Like, it's different for a little boy. So I do want to have, like, I want to grow my family, have a little boy, and at least, like, sooner rather than later, hopefully, so that he could be, you know, 5 and 6 years old and actually be able to see and notice the game a little bit, not just like a baby and. Not got being it. Able to notice, like I would really, that's like one thing that's always on my mind. I ain't gonna lie, it's always on my mind. I ain't rushing it because it got to be the right time and everything sure. like that. But that's something that's on my mind. And then just like stay, like really for me is like staying present in what I'm doing, like on the field, continuing to be who I am, continuing to elevate my game as well as the people around me, trying to help them as much as I can because I'm big on trying to get other guys paid. Like, I've been paid. I've been blessed. I've been this. Like, I want to see these other brothers get paid as well and make the most out of it. Like, I want to see them be able to change their lives and their families' lives for generations. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool to me, seeing that. Like, I love seeing guys get paid. Like, I ain't going to lie. That I'd be so happy seeing guys get paid.
I see you post it.
I'd be so happy. And at the same time, I'd be so pissed off. When I see guys getting less than what they could have got, I'm like, nah, capitalize, get all of that. You deserve that, brother. Like, we don't work too hard. Like, you got, this is your chance. Hit them upside the head. really hit him upside the head, take it all.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I'd be thinking.
His iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, man. And then continuing to be able to like change lives, like growing in my foundation work with my best friend Derwin James. We started our Safety Corner Foundation. And that's trying to affect, you know, the underserved communities here in the LA area, but also back home in the Nashville, Tennessee area, and back home in, you know, Polk County area, Florida, where he's from. Uh-huh. So that's one thing that I really want to continue, like, growing even more in that realm. And then just aligning myself with the right people to get into the things that I want to get into after football, whenever that time may be. Not rushing that at all. I want to continue playing football for as long as I can, but getting around the right people to, like, I'm very interested in EPs and being like EPs. I want to get around the right people, whoever them, those people might be, to just learn about that along the way. Not really even necessarily get fully into it, but just learn about it and pick up stuff over time. So if that time comes, boom, then ready. I can maybe transition into that.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, I'm interested in that. I am interested in coaching, but not in college, not in the NFL, just at the high school level. So, like, I do high school visits now just to be around, like, the high school coaches and the high school kids again, to see their vibe and see how they would interact or see how they would, you know, cling on to any of my words that I tell them and my knowledge. Like, seeing that has been cool for me as I've been doing, like, a little high school series, seeing these kids, like, man, he knows what he's talking about. And just giving them little tips and stuff. And then seeing them look at their coach like, dang, coach, you knew Jalen Ramsey and this and that. And then it gives their coach a little bit of a vote of confidence. So now they listen to their coach a little bit better and stuff like that. And I love the youth, man. I think the youth is it sounds cliche, but I feel like the youth is our future, right? So, you know, and I just remember myself playing high school football and playing with all my friends, and some of my friends, it was their last time ever playing football again, but those moments, they enjoyed them. And it, you know, made an impact on their lives, and we can still talk about some of those moments. And then, you know, other guys, we advanced our career on to college, and some of us in the NFL, but we all can look back to high school and be like, man, those were good moments to where I learned something key and foundational for the rest of my life. So I want to be able to change, you know, high schoolers' lives like that one day if I'm in, you know, coaching high school football or something like that. Like read the shirt, you know what I mean? Pressure bursts pipes and turns black kids into superheroes. Like, that's something in high school. Like, you can really mold a kid in high school to that. Like, man, all the pressure you gonna have. Pressure is what you make out of it. And it's gonna turn you into a champion. It's gonna turn you into a superhero. Like, I wanna be able to do that with kids one day. So, yeah, man, that's like my vision. Like,
yeah.
And it's a growing vision, you know what I mean? But that's it right there, listen. For sure.
You know, we've been trying to sit down with you for a long time, and we appreciate you. Again, for those who don't know, Jalen, again, was and is and has been an early and continuous supporter and advocate, and we appreciate it, man. We appreciate you, again, taking the time and sitting down with us, and, man, blessings on everything that you're doing and that you will continue to do, and just love the way you're moving, man.
No, I appreciate it. I love it, and y'all know, I already know, but I'm going to tell it, you know, on the camera. I love what y'all are doing. I love, and why I've always loved, you know, this show, podcast, whatever you want to call it, is because the conversation is so different. You know what I mean? Yeah, we talk about a little bit of the football and the blessings and this, but we talk about real life, and we talk about the mental aspect of it, and hearing each other, and the growth that we need in our lives, and the grace we need to show each other. You know, this is just all stuff we just touched right now, but in all the other episodes, y'all have touched this with different people in different aspects of life, artists, entrepreneurs, other players, other athletes, whoever it may be, we all need to have these type of conversations. So that's something I've always respected and appreciated about this, man.
Appreciate you, man. Sweet life, man. Signing off Dream Hotel. Be kind this week. Show somebody some grace, some love. Special shout out to our brother, man, Jalen Ramsey. Malik Rashid, Chief Johnson.
Micah.
Micah, DR. I appreciate y'all. Peace.